Welcome to Freedom Cast, a podcast dedicated to interviewing star icons and entrepreneurs who have encouraged others to become more healthy and active. My name is Ashton, and it's my pleasure to host you as we take another trip through the fitness industry. It's entertaining and informative, and I hope it makes fitness more exciting and special to you in your own fitness journey. Freedom Cast is supported by Freedom Fitness Equipment in Charlotte, North Carolina. Freedom Fitness Equipment serves the health and fitness community nationwide, from free weights and strength equipment for home gyms and studios to cardio and conditioning equipment for commercial spaces. Check them out at freedomfitnessequipment.com. Let's get rolling with today's show. Just want to welcome Alex Edwards. She is a bodybuilding competitor, owner of her own gym, formerly competed in powerlifting, from what I understand, correct?
Yeah.
Awesome. And she's on a podcast today. The thing that caught my eye was really good fitness content. She's replying to a lot of questions people just have, like practical things and advice. So welcome, Alex. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So give me a little bit of background, like who are you? How do you have enough time to manage like all of this media and a gym and like bodybuilding is a full-time job in and of itself. So what the heck? Yeah.
Is right. To be perfectly honest, there aren't enough hours in the day because in addition to everything you just listed, I also work a full-time job and my husband has children who are involved in sports. Yeah, there are not enough hours in the day.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. My goodness. So I guess to circle back around to the original question, I got started. So before I even met my husband, I got clean and sober like in my mid to early 20s.
Okay.
And found that I had just so many hours in the day, you know, and I was like, man, I need something productive to do with this time. And so I got a gym membership and I was, you know, little cardio bunny on the elliptical. And I was watching these people, you know, out over the gym floor lifting weights. And I was like, man, that looks so cool. And I saw, I remember specifically one chick, she was doing lat pull downs. And I was like, I want my back to look like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that time there wasn't a whole lot. There was like bodybuilding.com, the end. There wasn't even a lot of content on YouTube. So, you know, it was kind of a dive headfirst into the shallow end situation. but yeah, you know, I just kind of got started, eventually got to a point where I could hire like a personal trainer. It was actually like a group fitness class, but it was heavily focused on, strength specifically.
Okay.
And they're the ones who convinced me to start in powerlifting. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm not very strong, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, nah, come on, and kind of grabbed me by my ear and tugged me into competition. And, you know, then I really fell in love with competition, eventually ended up bodybuilding. My husband and I opened our gym and, you know, the rest is history.
Wow. So what, just out of curiosity on the addiction side, if that's not too personal, what brought you out of that?
You know, it was just a series of events where I was kind of at a rock bottom, so they say, and, you know, I was kind of looking around and I was like, all right, man, it's either more of this or like time to make a change. And so I'm really fortunate to have had some like family support with that who helped get me to where I needed to be to get the help that I needed at that time.
Awesome. I'm so excited. The gym, progression wise, like where is the purchase of the gym in this process? Like where are you starting to compete? Like, how does all that line up?
So I started competing in, my first meet was in 2016.
Okay.
And so at this point in time, my husband and I were just kind of dating. I competed spring of 2018, qualified for USAPL Nationals.
Ooh.
And it was okay. Except for, I really wanted to have a Halloween wedding. And so our wedding was scheduled for October 28th and Nationals was October 18th.
No.
And so it was either like, all right, do I focus on competing in Nationals or focus on getting married? I did choose to get married. But that was kind of the turning point where it was like, okay, so I didn't compete in Nationals, kind of like on the fit, like life side of things, things are going awesome. We own a house, we're married. On the fitness side of things, it was like, all right, I don't really have like any goals or structure or routine going on here. And so my husband was like, well, I've always wanted to compete in bodybuilding. So I was like, say less. And it was like days later, we had hired a coach. We were meal plan in our inbox.
Wow.
just like that.
Wow, that's amazing. And then the ownership of, are you a co-owner, like single owner, like how's that?
So originally it was a partnership. It was my husband, myself, and a friend. So I don't know how much of this story you want, but
please.
All right, you can have it all. So my husband and I, my husband really wanted to start doing like fitness t-shirts. And so we bought all of the like screen printing crap and like all of the shirts, and we were designing stuff, and you know, we were printing these shirts in our garage and selling them in the local, like selling them to our local friends and like shipping a few out from people who had found us on Instagram. And it was like, all right, this is kind of cool. This is fun. And there was a local fella who was managing a gym. And he's like, hey, I really want your shirts in my gym. And we were like, yeah, of course. And so we went down there, and after a couple months of like building a relationship with him and selling some shirts out of there and working out at the facility, he was like, I'm in a position to buy this. But he was pretty young at the time. He's like, I'm in a position to buy this, but I need help. I can't do it myself. Mm-hmm. So we were like, sure. Why not? Because if an opportunity presents itself, walk through the door, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, a couple months of like both of us working full-time jobs, managing the gym with him. And finally we were like, we can't do this. My husband left his full-time job, started working at the gym, and, you know, we acquired it. Our business partner recently left. And so it's just my husband and I managing the gym now, which is super cool for us. You know, it's my husband's lifelong dream, and yeah, here we are.
Oh my goodness. And is the gym oriented any particular way? Bodybuilding, powerlifting, general weightlifting, that kind of thing?
We're definitely more focused on the lifting side of things. We of course have cardio equipment. It's a 5,200 square foot gym. So we've got about 800 square feet of cardio equipment, and the rest is dedicated to the weight room.
Okay.
So we've got weightlifters, we've got power lifters, we've got bodybuilders, and we've got just general fitness folks. My husband runs a couple like transformation style classes for like new people. And, you know, so we kind of cover a little bit of everything.
Where is it located? What's the name?
We're in Selo, Washington, and it's called Fully Charged Fitness.
Okay. Gotcha. And I'm always curious about gym ownership, because I've interviewed a few folks locally here. And the one thing that they always hammer home, especially the ones that are like doing really well, is cultural fit, getting that real tight. Like, so how, what's changed since you guys have owned it, and what kind of things like are you doing with the gym now that maybe weren't happening before?
I think gym culture is super important. And I've talked about that on TikTok quite frequently. And I think the benefit for us is that we have so many competitors. And if you know any competitors, you know how, for the most part, I can't speak in absolutes here, for the most part, super encouraging, super welcoming, like trying to draw more people into competing and just really like helping to build that fire and that love, not just for showing up to the gym because I got to take care of my meat suit, but also like, let's make this a hobby. Let's enjoy this in the process.
Yeah.
So I think our members have been critical in that for sure. But also I think, you know, we kind of have a little bit of a reputation of being kind of intimidating, because my husband and I are, you know, big juicy bodybuilders. But you know, whenever people come in and talk to us, without fail, oh my gosh, I was so intimidated, but you guys are so kind, so welcoming. I'm so excited to be here. So I think that just staying down to earth and being welcoming and encouraging, like that's the secret sauce.
Yeah, absolutely. Bodybuilding's no joke. So I want to dive into that a little bit. You're gunning for the competitions, but are you gunning for IFBB Pro? Do you already have IFBB Pro cert, or what's the situation with that?
I am not a pro yet. Okay. So I've done three shows, and I've gotten first place in all of them and one overall.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
So I'd say things are going really well. And so the next step is to compete at a national level and kind of see how I stack up there.
Good stuff. Is that, do you want to keep doing that long-term, or just kind of get pro card and then move on? Or is it, you know, like what's the long-term game plan?
Well, I mean, short term would be get to nationals, see how I do there. I think, you know, if I'm thinking long term, like, isn't that the dream to make it to the IFBB and compete with the big dogs?
Yep. Absolutely. What's something about, or why bodybuilding? Because to me, as opposed to powerlifting, like what have you found so attractive about that over and above the powerlifting scene, which is all about strength? Like, this is very much the aesthetics and it's difficult. I mean, that stuff sucks sometimes.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, I loved powerlifting because a lot of it is mental. A lot of it is how far can I push myself? How can I change this? A lot of troubleshooting. But when you step into bodybuilding, it's all encompassing. And what I found over the last several years is that it's not just about the work I'm putting in at the gym or the food I'm putting in my mouth. It's also about the mental fortitude. There's a lot of personal growth that comes from it, aside from just, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours in the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think that's part of what's super attractive to me. And the other part is, you know, our lives were already built around the gym and everything. So it just felt like a natural consequence of what we were already doing.
Yep. That's fair. I think in a couple of your videos, you've mentioned having difficulty, especially post show, with binge eating.
Yeah,
I've talked to a number of people who have a lot of content around that. Why do you think that happened? And what are some things that you did to kind of combat that? Because I'm always curious about, people have different techniques to like stop and avoid, but it all depends.
Well, I think it's important to remember, specifically for competitors or anybody coming off of a really hard diet, that is a natural consequence of being in a really heavy deficit and being super controlled. Discipline is like any other muscle, and it requires rest in order to grow. And so if you've been disciplined for 4, 6, 8 months, depending upon how long your prep has been, it's going to take some time to rest. And so it can get super hard to control, especially when you don't have that dangling carrot of, you know, I've got this show, I can't screw that up, because then it's just kind of like this open-ended don't cheat on your diet, you know. And I think for some of us, especially women who have any kind of history with over restriction and therefore binging and just kind of a general like diet culture whatever, I think that effect is a little bit enhanced even. You know, and so that's why I talk a lot about having a healthy relationship with food, not thinking of food in terms of black and white, good and bad. Because kind of when you take that mental strain off, then that, if you do make an oops on your diet or whatever, then it's just, all right, I did that. I don't need to overcorrect and set myself up for another binge. I just need to move forward.
Yep. Somewhat unrelated, I notice you have tattoos. And I'd love for you to talk about like what you've got on there, but, I have heard like very mixed things about whether tattoos affect the aesthetic and the judging portion of bodybuilding, guys and men and women. Does it really matter? Cause like you're going in with a tan anyway, and it like covers everything up, or like what's the story there?
I get that question a lot. And you know, it wasn't ever something that I had considered as being like potentially detrimental. I do find that depending upon how the light's hitting or whatever, that because of the tattoo, it can make me appear less symmetrical because it covers so much real estate.
Okay.
If I go like this because of where the tattoo lands, it can kind of change the way that delt cap appears.
Huh.
I think for the most part though, I think that if you're shredded and you're up there on stage and presenting well, I just don't know how much that's really going to affect, you know?
Yeah, that's what I would think. And, you know, I don't think it's affected people like, I don't want to misspeak, but like guys like Chris Bumstead do have like shoulder sleeve or like some tattoos when they're, maybe I'm wrong.
Sure if Chris does. I know that there are plenty of pros who are tattooed though. Like for instance, one gal specifically comes to mind who recently achieved IFBB pro status in the figure division, the back is super important and her whole back is covered, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if she can get a pro with her whole back covered when back is arguably the most important part of being figure.
Yeah. It's not gonna matter. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So talk to me about the tattoos. Like what you got going on?
This is my little zombie pal. There's not really any story besides that I'm a big horror fan.
Nice.
So eventually, hopefully the whole thing will be, you know, just kind of a horror themed sleeve. Sweet. This is an anchor. It says stay grounded.
Nice.
Me and two of my best friends many moons ago, we were in Seaside, Oregon, went into a tattoo shop on a whim. And it's like, since it's on the coast, we went for a nautical theme. There's
nice. I like it.
A lot of people have meaning behind their tattoos, but mine was pretty much just, I like that. Put it on me.
That's awesome. Very cool. Very nice. So TikTok and it blows my mind how many people have gone in, on the fitness side who are like relatively unknown on Instagram and blow the F up on TikTok, and they should be blowing up on Instagram as well. But like, where was that point for you where you got the account, you're like, oh, heck yeah, and all of a sudden took off?
I think for me, well, to speak to the Instagram thing, I just think that Instagram's so saturated, especially really with fitness content.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to get noticed in that realm unless you're like actively out in the community or collaborating with other like bodybuilders or fitness personalities. You know, I think it's super hard to do, but TikTok's just an algorithm feeding you stuff all the time. For me, I think the turning point, I had kind of played around with it. I did the whole like, oh, I'll download this for entertainment. You know, I think half the US probably downloaded it spring of 2020. But it wasn't until spring of 2021 that I really started posting with any regularity. And I was posting about being in prep because I was getting close to my shows.
Okay.
And at my first show, I looked back and I regretted not documenting more. And so it was really more for myself and less about like sharing with other people. It was more just, man, I wish I would have taken more pictures, more videos. But then people started getting curious about it. And so then I got to kind of like, you know, spin off on their questions and kind of share a little bit more about what I was doing. And it just kind of became this like super fun way to connect with other people when my world was otherwise super small, you know, between gym closures and, you know, lockdowns and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It was nice to have the interaction.
Absolutely. And the stuff you're putting out is fire, by the way, like,
thank you.
If anybody's listening to this and doesn't follow you, follow Alex, please do. But by the way, I freaking love your username, Quadzilla. Seriously, that's that's awesome. Are you do you define yourself as quad dominant?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. I'm working on balancing it out, but
that's amazing. Have you noticed that? I know for us, traffic is pretty critical on social sites as far as bringing business in. But have you noticed the same thing with has anybody seen it coming to the gym? Been like, yeah, I want to be a member just because of the content you're putting out.
Less new members, but I do find, you know, as I'm kind of like working on what kind of content I want to put out, we do get people who come in and say, hey, I saw Alex doing this. Hey, I saw you doing this. Can you help me set it up? Hey, like, why are you doing this? And how can I make that happen for me? So it has had a positive effect, like in the general community around here.
Sure. Sure. I'm just looking through your 62,000 followers on. Yeah. That's no joke on TikTok. Good Lord.
I try not to think about that number because when I think about like how many people that actually equals, it's kind of like anxiety inducing. That's over half the population of the city I live in.
It's crazy. Somebody was putting in terms of like stadium sizes, and that really blew my mind because trying to think like Panther Stadium down here in Carolina is what, probably 30,000 to 50,000, I'd guess.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's deep. I think that's right. I think I'm not exaggerating. So like that's double stadium size, which is wild to think about. Sorry, not to continue to pile on the anxiety. That's amazing. I love it. So is more of your content now just around like day-to-day life? And it seems like it isn't just answering good questions, but are you trying to orient more of it towards giving good bodybuilding advice, or are you kind of all over the place in terms of like do a little bit of powerlifting, do a little bodybuilding because you've got those backgrounds?
You know, when I look at other fitness content that's out there, and when I look at like, you know, our gym members, the hole that I see in the information that's available, I feel like a lot of us spend so much time talking about how to optimize your diet, how to optimize your training routine, what is the best way to do a bicep curl. And it's like, when I'm looking at this big picture, I think the biggest need is just encouraging people to get moving, encouraging people to get a base level of knowledge about nutrition. Like that's the hole I see. It's not, people don't need to know how to do a super restrictive bodybuilding diet. They need to be encouraged to go for a walk 3 days a week.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot more. Well, and I don't know if you've noticed this about TikTok, again, compared to Instagram. I was just talking about this with somebody that the audience is much more, I'll say immature, but like in a good way, like not, I mean, there's definitely the commenters that are immature in that literal sense, but you know, like a guy, folks that are new in their fitness journey, whereas you'd find maybe on Instagram, there's a little more maturity of the content and the audience that you're going to. So like, I think the stuff you're putting out is probably a lot more applicable to like Gen Pop, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, again, talking about Instagram, everything's very stylized. It's already like pretty established. Whereas on TikTok, you know, I think there's a different audience draw also, but I think that, people tend to be a little bit more interactive on TikTok than they are on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and the comment reply feature is gold. Absolutely.
It is. It really is.
Absolutely. I've seen a couple of your, actually speaking of immature comments, I've seen a couple of the responses that you had, which are absolute dynamite. What's the worst thing you've gotten from somebody so far that's just been like dumping on something you've said?
Oh, you know, it's hard to say because I've either already replied to it and made a joke out of them, or I don't know, just not a lot really like hits me at my core because they're tearing apart what my acne that I've had for 15 years, or making fun of me for having big muscles that I got intentionally. Like, I don't know. I just think, but I do think it's important to respond to and address those comments. I was just talking to my husband about this last night, because I know that I can see the age range of my audience. I can see these young women, and I think it's important that they have a role model and they say, oh, she doesn't take shit from them. I don't need to either.
Yep.
I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it really does. I know for me personally, like some of those comments suck. I mean, they really, I'll think about them for 24 hours. And it's, I don't know if you found this, like sometimes it is better to hit the respond button because at least you got what you're feeling out there. And, you know, now the person knows that they got called out and hopefully won't do it again.
Yeah. You know, and I found by and large that when I do respond to those shitty comments, like not just my followers, but even people who don't follow me are like 10 out of 10, like, hey, why are you being such a dickhead?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, I'm sure that, like I said, I'm sure that'll change the platform matures, but I'm glad you're sticking to your guns on that kind of stuff. Oh, I don't normally discuss this unless I've got a sense of kind of where you stand. I will move on to the next topic if you want me to. It's okay. About drugs and bodybuilding and PEDs. Do you want me to touch on that? Or okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So where do you stand with that? I know to get to pro level anyway, or even at the amateur level, like it's a necessity, but what's your stance on that? And kind of what's the content you've been putting out around that?
So I've been pretty open. I found, because I got a couple videos taken down, that I need to be pretty like, I kind of need to code when I address it.
Yeah.
Because I do get the, oh, you're on PEDS. And it's like,
whatever,
not yet. But if you paid attention to my content, you'd know that like before I compete nationally, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it's never my intention to encourage people to jump to that. I think that you should have a solid basis of training. I'm talking nearing a decade. I think that you should have a firm grasp on nutrition, sleep, recovery outside of just sleep. I think that all of those things need to be addressed and managed on a semi-long-term basis, again, before turning to that. And I also think that it should be done under the direction of a coach or somebody who's experienced. I think that health metrics need to be managed. I'm definitely not anti-PED. I did, when I was in powerlifting, I competed in USAPL specifically because I wanted to compete in a tested federation.
Yeah. Yep.
And USPA was like just kind of starting to roll it out at that time. They're like tested stuff. But I'm not in any way against it. I am against people who hide it or deny it. I think that's lame, which is part of the reason why I take full ownership for my intention, where I'm headed. Because first and foremost, before I'm a content creator, I'm a bodybuilder. I'm an athlete.
Yep.
And I think sometimes people lose sight of that on TikTok a little bit.
Sure. Sure. Well, and they also don't understand, I think too, and you can speak better to this than I can, that the amount of dedication and, it's more than, I mean, like brutalization required to get to that level anyway. You know, most people, what am I trying to say here? If you think that you can get to the physique that you have naturally, and it's like, oh, well, you're just taking drugs to, and then automatically you blow up. That's not how that freaking works.
No, it's not. Because if it was how it works, we'd probably have a lot more IFBB pros roaming the streets, right, you know? Right.
It's not as simple as taking, God forbid, SARMs and, you know, just like, and going and being the best. I am actually curious on compounds, if you're able to talk about any of that, but have you experimented with different types of stuff as it's come out, or have you kind of stuck to one particular regimen pretty much the entire time for bodybuilding?
So when it's time for me to introduce some of these compounds, my coach and I have discussed what he thinks I should use. And he's touched base with a couple other female pros, to again, get some more information.
Okay.
So I did my own research. I know what I'm comfortable with as a woman, because obviously I've got a few more things to be concerned about than maybe a man. And so, you know, I feel pretty comfortable and confident with the information that we have.
Okay. Gotcha.
I just don't want to delve too deep, because again, I don't want it to come across like I'm encouraging this,
No, it's totally fine. For people, and then, this actually directly applies to what you just said, for people who are considering bodybuilding and have gotten to that, whatever their genetic potential is for natural, any words of advice for going the not drug-free route and being wise about that decision process?
Yeah, I think, there's so many different things. I think number one, again, like I would hate for PEDS to scare somebody away from bodybuilding at the amateur level. You just don't need it, really.
Okay.
I think people have this wrong idea about what you're seeing at the amateur level. But aside from that, if you think you're nearing genetic potential, I would say you've probably worked with a couple of coaches by then who have worked with you, modified with you, like you've managed all these variables again, long-term. What was the original question again?
Some basic advice for somebody who's interested in getting in bodybuilding, but also has trained to the point where they are actually ready. Like they've reached their genetic, whatever they think their natural genetic potential is, been training for 10 years, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Again, I think just ticking the boxes, managing health, and I think consulting with those around you. If you don't have sponsorship and support from the people that you see most frequently, like for instance, if my husband was like, no, absolutely not, this is a PED-free home, like it would be ridiculous for me to to continue, you know? And again, being willing to manage those health markers and knowing when to pull back. I think that if you don't know when to pull back on anything, if you don't know when it's time to quit a prep or, you know, the side effects are getting out of control, if that's not something that you can manage, if you're not a coachable sort of person, then forget it.
Yep. Yep. Just one more question on the, on just bodybuilding generally and the judging side. I'm always really curious about figure types. I know there's different categories for women as there are for men, but the size on the men's side, I know is getting, I think classic physique has gotten progressively bigger every year, which at a certain point you would think it can't possibly, but it does.
Even with a weight cap. Yeah.
I know, seriously. So like, is there any, on the women's side, are there similar issues where, figures are getting larger as well, or getting different in a way that's just not tenable long term?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think that bodybuilding, especially over the last three, four years, has really reached up. Again, we're talking high level, pro level,
right.
Has reached a much more extreme level. And when I think of women, if we look at like one of the first figure Olympians, talking like 2011, 2012, okay, that physique would not win a first place at the amateur level even.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah. And so again, at the amateur level, we're talking mostly natural physiques, very, very normal, but like, I don't know. So the level of conditioning and as well as the size and muscle density and maturity has definitely changed even in the women's categories. For sure. Even the bikini women, you know, the division was originally started, it should just be like, you look like you're walking on the beach. And now like these women have muscle, dude, like at the high level, they've got an impressive amount of muscle.
Gotcha.
So it's definitely shifted.
Okay. So the size is going up on the women's side as well. That's crazy.
Yeah. Just the overall like intensity and density and muscle maturity has definitely gone up.
Interesting.
What's interesting for women though, is that there's no weight cap on any of our categories. Like there are for men.
Really? What? Mm-hmm. Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
So holy cow. So that means your potential size. Wow. So that would
I mean, there's only so much you can pack on.
Well, like, I mean, yeah.
One frame like mine, you know, but yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
There may be in like women's bodybuilding, and I'm not sure about women's physique, but as far as I'm aware for figure fitness, bikini, there's no cap.
Good Lord. Okay. Jeez. Okay. That might be interesting in about 5 or 10 years too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Dang. Yeah, I wonder, you know, and you can only come up with so many compounds to continue, male or female, to like continue to grow that. I you know, it's going to be very, I mean, we keep seeing, and this sucks, but like, particularly on the guy's side, like more and more bodybuilder deaths or heart attacks. And John Meadows just passed, and that was horrific. But I wonder, I wish, two things, right? I wish it was controlled, studied, regulated, and explored far more than it is, which is why I appreciate folks like you who are actually willing to talk about it. But at the same time, it's wild to me that after this many years, there haven't been compounds. SARMs was kind of the expectation that it would be a safer drug, but like there haven't been compounds that are that much safer than the stuff that's out there already.
Well, I think the compounds that are out there are, I mean, they just are what they are. But I think, again, managing those health side effects, knowing when to pull back, knowing when to say, wow, my health is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
But I also think that, all right, if we're seeing this increase in mortality directly linked to ostensibly these compounds, at what point then are we going to kind of change the judging criteria and no longer reward the most extreme, biggest physique?
Yeah.
But again, we're speaking like super high level. This doesn't apply to most of us.
Right, right, right.
I want to make sure that we make that distinction. Cause again, like, I don't want to scare anybody away from bodybuilding. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but you would wonder too, now that I'm thinking about this, I mean, if you'd have, I don't want to say a revolution, but like a mini revolt on the bodybuilding side where they go, similar to what has been happened with the NFL with concussions, where they say, this is too much of a health risk. The judges are biased towards this particular physique and we're not complying anymore, or you've got to change the rules. I wonder if that would ever happen, or if people just like, oh yeah, hell yeah. Like, the bigger the better, all the time, every day.
So. You know, it's hard to say. And I think it's important to remember, though, that the IFBB is a business at the end of the day. And so if the Mask Monsters are drawing attention and people buying live streams and tickets to the expos, and the companies are still coming to the expos and paying buku bucks, then what's the incentive to quit? You know, the almighty dollar.
Yep. No, it's true. I want to talk a little bit about your gym and some of the things as a gym owner that you've encountered. I'm sure there's all sorts of stories you can share, but you know, what are I've talked with a few gym owners before, and it can be very difficult. Anything that you've run into as a gym owner that's been particularly challenging since you guys have owned it?
A global pandemic, I would say.
Oh, well, yeah, you know.
Yeah, that was super challenging.
I am curious though, how did you guys survive that? Because a lot of gyms did shut down. I mean, we're in the fitness equipment business, and everywhere you look, like, guys are shutting their doors for longer than 2 months. The ones that didn't, you know, it's crazy town.
Yeah, I think we got really lucky with where we're located. We got really lucky with the community that we had built. We had a lot of, you know, support and sponsorship. We rented out equipment so that people would feel more comfortable. They could use it at home. We had applied for the PPP, but we were denied. We got the EIDL, and that was enough to kind of see us through the shakiest parts. And, you know, again, we're just super lucky to have the community support. And we're definitely still feeling the after effects of that, but I feel like by and large we've made it to the other side, perhaps. So
yep. Is your membership in terms of like numbers comparable to what it was pre-COVID now, or oh really? Okay.
No, we've probably taken a 15% decrease, a 15% hit.
Okay.
And especially with that, you know, as a gym owner, you always look forward to that first of the year little boom. And because we had that post Christmas spike in, you know, community transmission and cases and all of that, we definitely saw, it was like a ghost town in there for a couple weeks, you know? So we were just, I don't know, man. We have a, like, obviously we're fine, but, you know, we just didn't see that kind of boom, and we found it's a little bit more difficult. You know, people are kind of like peeking in, like, what's going on in here? Are there too many people for me? Which is totally understandable. You know, I think as health and fitness professionals, I think we're remiss to not take some sort of precaution around that.
Right. Absolutely. Is there any, I had one guy talk to me about, especially like in the early days of owning a gym, like cleaning the toilets and having to deal with all the day-to-day stuff. Any stories from that where something went horribly sideways, somebody didn't do something and you walked in on it?
Oh man, you know, I feel like that's just part of the game. There have been two times that we were called, you know, in the middle of the night, hey, the drain's leaking, and we come in and the drain in the bathroom floor is just gurgling up, and we're like, fuck.
Oh no.
Let's see. One time we just had torrential downpours. And, again, in the freaking cursed bathroom, there's like water leaking out. So our gym is like, we're decorated with like plywood, and then the bottom half is, like corrugated tin. So it's kind of like an industrial unfinished look. Mm-hmm. And there was just water gushing out from behind the tin. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, why this isn't my building, somebody please come help me.
Oh my word.
Fortunately, it was a simple fix. It was just like a clogged drain at the top, but somehow it had managed to get between the exterior wall and the interior bathroom wall. And it was just kind of like, it was like something out of a horror scene. Like, where is this coming from?
Oh my God. Yeah. Plumbing is no joke. I've had a couple of mold issues in the homes we've owned, and that stuff gets anywhere. Like, was there drywall behind the tin, or is it just tin and then the studs?
It was fortunately studs and plywood, because again, we have that like industrial unfinished look. So fortunately, like, we turned the heater on, it dried everything out, we're good to go. But at the time, just watching that water seep out from under the wall, it was like, oh my God, what are we doing?
That is horrific. Oh my goodness. Well, that have you noticed anything? I just go back. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about the content side of things, particularly with your TikTok. Have you noticed a trend in any particular direction on the fitness side of people asking more questions about certain topics in fitness? I know you've got a lot of Gen Pop on there, but trends in the fitness industry, or questions people are asking that you are starting to hear more often now that your people are getting exposed to you and exposed to that side of TikTok, I guess.
It's always food and supplements. Always, always.
Really?
Which is so funny, because to me, when I'm thinking about like, all right, what is my ideal content to create? I want to make workout videos.
Yeah.
I want to show you, like, that's like my passion. That's what I really love. But everyone wants to know about what they should eat and how much protein and which supplements are going to help them lose fat. And it's like, first of all, supplements aren't going to help you lose fat. Let's get that down right. But yeah, I end up spending a lot more time talking about nutrition than I had originally intended.
Interesting. Yeah, because I would have thought they would have been all about like how much you live, what's the rep max ranges, like all that weird, you know, all the technical side of things. So interesting. And it sounds like your philosophy is pretty balanced on the supplement side. So what's your take on supplements, and the supplement industry, I guess, in general?
Ooh, the supplement industry in general, I feel like, I think that, you know, we've spent, especially, you know, if you're kind of my age, later 20s, early 30s, whatever, then you spent a lot of time watching like hydroxy cut ads on TV stuff. And so when people think supplements, they think, yeah, this is going to make me skinny, and that's what I want. And I think that the supplement industry kind of leans into that because they know that that's what's going to sell. I don't think supplements are bad. Obviously I'm, you know, an Evagen affiliate now, which is awesome, and take supplements. But what I try to impress upon people the most is that sleep, training, nutrition, and then you supplement with the supplements.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Are you guys providing Evagen in the gym, or do you have your own line now? I thought you guys had your own line at some point. Maybe I missed that.
Right now we retail Feast Mode Flavors, the low sodium seasonings,
okay,
which are super delicious. If you've never heard of them, buy them.
Yeah.
I don't have a discount code for you. I just think they're really good.
Awesome.
And then we have a local supplement company, FX Supps, available on our shelves. Okay. And our next brand that we were going to get in, I've done all the paperwork and everything, is Evagen. This was before they even reached out to me to be an affiliate.
Wow.
But again, with the, you know, kind of recovering from COVID, that's a low priority on the financial investment scale.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Protein and shaker cups. And I don't think I've ever asked this question before. Helamix is big. And I think they're trying to like get to more and more. Have you heard of Helamix before? Okay. Yeah.
They actually sent me a couple. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So yeah. Maybe I'm not thinking about this the right way, but there's only so many versions of a shaker cup that you can create. Like, in your professional opinion, is a shaker cup a shaker cup, or are there design aspects to it that can really help with, I don't know, mixing or something like that?
You know, I'll be honest, if you shake something enough times, it's probably going to dissolve in water, especially if you've got like a decent high quality sup. But I will say what I really like about the Helimix shakers is that I no longer have, like, when I use them, I don't have those little wire things all tangled up in my freaking dishwasher. you know, and that, and it's just one less piece. I don't have a drawer full of them. They aren't rattling around in the back of my car because they escaped. So I will say that that is a really nice feature.
Okay. Is it the shape of the bottle that allows it to mix a little bit more efficiently?
Yes. Yeah. So it actually creates like, because it's like this like twisted, I don't know, hexagonal shape, it makes like a little vortex in it.
Oh, no freaking way. Okay. I don't know why I never connected the dots on that. I just thought it was like something came like this and it didn't have any sort of twist to it. So I was like,
no, it's like a, yeah, it's got like a little twist to it. So when you shake it vigorously, then it creates this little like vortex and it really does do a super job of mixing.
Oh, that's so freaking cool. Yeah, that's way more efficient. Cause I've seen the ones that you press the button and it has the blade and I'm like, that is just an accident waiting to happen. I'm sorry, but like somebody sits
there. If I can't stick it in the dishwasher, I don't want it. Okay. No. Yeah,
freaking absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well, that's a really cool, I may have to reach out, but that's a really cool design.
It's a fun little product for sure. For sure.
Nice. For beginner lifters in particular, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this who are just starting out and getting into bodybuilding or powerlifting. Any practical advice maybe people haven't thought of, if they're going to, whether they're going to a commercial gym or in a home gym and they're just starting out, things that you would recommend they do or think about as they're getting into that training regimen. And you're welcome to talk about the strength side because I'm very biased towards that.
I think first and foremost, like, I think there's a lot of fear around going in and doing the wrong thing or not having an optimized workout plan or whatever. Just go in and lift some shit. Like, it's going to be fine. You're going to make mistakes in your lifting career. It's fine. Accept that. And I think that, oh man, there's just so much good information out there. So if you see somebody doing a deadlift on Instagram and you think, man, I really want to do that, go on YouTube. There's a bajillion different how-to videos and go in there, watch the video, do your rep, record yourself, see if your rep matches up, you know, just look for that biofeedback. Don't expect that you're going to be able to just go in and it's going to look just like somebody who is a power lifter. But learn how to self-critique. And you're going to go really far.
Yeah. Would you ever recommend somebody setting up either Instagram or TikTok accounts specifically around, one guy that I follow, Blake Lifts, does this and specifically just recording your, all your lifts and letting the audience comment. I know that can be a mixed bag, but is there benefit to that at all?
Man, that's a good question. I suppose depends on who's watching your content though. Because I can't tell you how many times I'll have some dude come on one of my Instagram videos and be like, actually the correct way to do that is, and it's like, okay, what are your credentials? Show me your trophies. Get out of here. You know, so I think that and maybe I'm biased because it's coming from a woman's perspective, because we get enough unsolicited advice, especially in the weight room.
Oh, hot damn. Yeah, I can imagine. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't imagine somebody walking up to you and seeing that you're jacked and being like, oh no, she definitely needs some help.
Yeah. You know, you would think.
I guess anyway, do you find that, by the way, do you find that being jacked like helps you avoid any of that? Or are people like still like,
well, I think for the most part, I think also since everybody's coming to my house for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, but I do find sometimes that when we're out of town, I get some looks like this, and you know, I forget I'm not just a regular person sometimes.
That's awesome. Well, and I don't think men or women should be afraid of muscle. Like that's, I'm sure you feel the same way, but like it's do y'all have kids or?
My husband has two. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So like for me, my kids looking up and seeing, hey, mommy and daddy are strong and able to defend us and defend themselves and like stand up for themselves and the confidence that goes with that. I think that speaks volumes. I've talked to people about that and they're like, well, no, I'm not so sure. Like, what are my kids really going to think? Your kids are going to think you're freaking awesome is what it is.
Yeah, they're gonna say, oh my gosh, my mom can lift so much weight, like, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So
at least that's what we found. Well, and being gym owners and in fitness, whatever, like, we support any activity whatsoever. So my husband's son is in track and cross country. He's a phenomenal sprinter, and his daughter's in karate. And so it's like, whatever gets you moving, man. You don't have to have giant delts. Just do something.
Yep. Get active. Get off the couch. Don't be like 90% of the United States.
yeah, for sure. For sure.
Nice. All right. So Alex, where can people find you if they want to look at more of your content? By the way, are people okay to message you asking just general lifting advice, or would you recommend they hop in the comments and do that there?
Honestly, either way is fine with me. Okay. My DMs are open on Instagram. So on Instagram, I'm quad_ZILLUH. That's Quadzilla. And then on TikTok, I'm just another fit chick.
Awesome. Fantastic. And then the gym, one more time, just so people locally can find you guys.
Fully Charged Fitness in Selo, Washington.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Alex, for coming on. I really appreciate that. And I'll be sure. So anybody who's local, check out the gym. And then if you're not, make sure to check out the content. Thank you, Alex, for coming on. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. Please give FreedomCast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It would mean a lot to our business. Plus, it's fun to read y'all's reviews. See you next time.